So good to see all of you here today. Lord bless you. This weekend has been a banner weekend for the Sycamore. And some of you remember from our prayer request last week what this weekend was. They launched the Sycamore at Nazi. The church in Nigeria had a crusade on Friday and Saturday night. 10 people came to know the Lord those two nights. And John's showing you the pictures here. Isn't that interesting to see our logo across on the other side of the planet? That is a tent there that was put up, and a well that is out there. It's a concrete foundation. We're leasing this land, and John, go on to the ones of the service. And here's inside. By the way, that's the offering box there. People are curious about that. It's got glass on it. Those are church chairs, by the way, in Nigeria. That's what you call those. And I think there's probably 40 or 50 people there at the service this morning. And there's Bethel. Leave it on this one for a minute, John. I don't know where he got that banner in the background, but it's pretty slick. And the thing I'm particularly interested in, that in the corners, in the front right corner there, you see that round thing? That's a fan. There's one just like, it's one of those aircraft fans. And there's one just like it in the back. And thank God for those fans. Can I get a witness on that? Woo! Praise the Lord for that. Because you're going to sweat. It's just whether or not you're going to sweat hot or sweat not as hot. And then several other pictures. But the young man there, that's the pastor, that's Bethel Amadi. I guess he's your cousin, isn't he? He's your first cousin. And we're excited about that. And if God puts it on your heart, you want to over and above your tithe, you want to put some money towards this, it'll be like jet fuel. Because it'll be translated into outreach projects and you name it. I'm jazzed about this. This is one of the most exciting things to see God doing this. And there's in the area where they are, there's no other church that is there, and it's just a blessing. So today we begin a new message series and missional approach to your life right now. Kind of a technical thing, but it's time for us to get busy on some things that are about to be happening and are happening with us, and things that are right around the corner. And today's message in this theme of missional approach to your life right now is introduction. Understanding the nature of things. What is the nature of things? Now here's where we stand as a congregation right now. God has spoken to us. We began as a congregation in 1993. Had our first meeting the last Tuesday of January of 1993. We have had many adventures together, and now God has described another adventure for us. He has spoken to us in the past, and he is speaking to us today. He has led us back to the hub. He has said to us very clearly, we've heard his voice, and in those words, get back to the hub. And the hub for us, our Jerusalem, if you will. When you look at that, Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, our Jerusalem is Georgetown. That is our original call. Physically, to be there, and for that to be the place from which God will send us out. Number three, he's renewed our identity. He has shown us that this idea of of having life groups, of having a church, an Acts 20:20 church. Acts 20:20 says they met both publicly and house to house. They met both in the large group and they met in small group. This both and kind of thing is God's symmetry. If you're not in a life group, I encourage you to be in one. Be thinking about getting in one real soon. He is renewing that though as God is not stagnant. And let me tell you, there's nothing stagnant about this book. There's nothing old-fashioned about this book, because what God's calling us to do is come in alignment with his principles about life, about what he wants for us as a church. But these are specific things that he's shown us. Number four, he is preparing us for the whole world beginning at the hub. And I truly believe that the outreach that we have and the connection, the partnership, if you will, that we have in Nigeria is a down payment, if you will. And all the other projects, because we've had people in our church go to other parts of Africa. Pastor Dane has been there, in Europe, in several different places. Cuba, down Central America. We've had folks literally go all over the world. But I believe specifically what he's showing us with the thing in Nigeria right now, and our partnership, our strategic partnership there, that he wants us to be a sending church, a church that I believe this is part and parcel of who we've been from the beginning. I believe he's renewing that and is going to send us out even more as we relocate there. Now, let me prepare you for something that could happen very quickly. As of right now, we have probably 9 different groups that have inquired about this plant, this physical plant here, this property and these buildings, about buying it. Probably had about 6 of those have actually come for a visit. 2 of those right now are looking at it seriously. What I'm saying to you, does anyone know? God knows. If one of these is going to be the one that will have this facility, I don't know. But let me show you how fast things could change for us. Because guess what? When they write the check, guess what we do? We meet somewhere else. And I know many of you have asked us, well, where are we going to be meeting? Now, what kind of question is that? You have been with us for a long time. You know, we've met in all kinds of places, haven't we? We did that one time. We had a list, and I don't know if we've got that much time in a service to show all the different places that we've met over the years. What I'm saying is, this is exciting. This ought to get the juices going for you to be living on the edge like that. Now, are we investigating all these places? Yes, we're investigating everything. Everything that someone says, oh, you ought to try out this. You ought to talk to these people. Guess what we do? We talk to them. Go by and see them. Visiting all these places. And we've got possibilities, want you to know. But we're not at that place yet. But we could be, just like that. I want you to be ready. You better be ready. Instant in season and out of season. Ready to meet. Does it really matter where you meet as long as you meet where God wants you to meet? That therein is a question. But our plan, of course, is to build out on our property, the almost 7 acres that we own out in Georgetown. By the way, we're going to have a picnic out there on the Tuesday after July 4th. That's what, the 9th of July, 6 o'clock. We're going to have hot dogs, hamburgers there. You bring something that goes with that, whatever. Yeah. Donna's not here, but shrimp fried rice goes real well. And cannolis and falafel goes with hot dogs and hamburgers. But come out, invite your friend, invite them. Let's make this a strategic event. We want them to see where God is leading us, and for them to be a part of that. But I want you to be praying. I want you to see that. That's why as we begin this new message series today and think about this missional approach to life, did God in his infinite wisdom just decide to plant you here for you to just do whatever you wanted to do and walk willy-nilly through life? Or did God have a mission for you, a plan, a purpose, if you will? And if he does have that purpose, and I believe he does, for every one of us, he then puts us together for his plan and for his purpose. Now, what is the nature of that? You've got to understand the nature of those things. What is this plan? What's the nature of the world? What's the nature of life? Well, let's look at those things. And as we look at them, I want us to read this passage from Romans chapter 7, 21. We'll read down through verse 4 of chapter 8. Very, very memorable passage of Scripture. I've discovered this principle of life. How about that? We didn't invent the modern-day slick preacher of today's churches. Did not invent the term the principles of life we're going to give you. This is something that that God has been in the business of for a long time. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do right, I inevitably do what's wrong. Can I get a witness on that? All right? I love God's law with all my heart. Now, get this is line upon line here. This is principle upon principle. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. I want you to hear this passage with new ears today. So now, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Well, the natural thing, you read that first paragraph, is to think, well, man, I'm cooked. There's a phrase we have for that, but I can't say it in church. I'm done. I'm cooked. But that's not the truth of God. There's now, therefore, no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus Christ, because you belong to him. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way, from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies of sinners, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. Let me read that again. God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son
as a sacrifice of our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So you see here, there's a dilemma. There's this war that's going on between two ideologies. On the one hand, you have a lot of ignorance over here on this part. It's damnable ignorance. It's ignorance about God and about His law, about everything, about His love, about His care. It's ignorance. But then there's a choice over here. It's a choice of life and abundance and freedom. Hit it, John. Lights in back, please.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
I don't know if the Apostle Paul had dark glasses and shaved his head, but I do know that you can't watch that movie and not see the parallels. Blue pill, go back to the ignorant life, this battle that's going on. Red pill, let's see how far it goes. What is God saying? What is He saying to us today? Not what did He say back then, not what He said to us when we were little kids, or back in the heyday, or back in the day, but what is He saying now? So we've got to understand the nature of things. Number one, we've got to understand the nature of life. Have you ever felt like, Nia, that there are things you don't understand? Why does this always happen? Paul was pondering that when he posed this rhetorical question here, this idea of why is it that the things I want to do, I can't do, the things I don't want to do, I do. Why? Because of the sin that dwells within me.
We don't understand that. We don't understand the nature of life. The nature of life now that there are larger things. Have you ever felt like there's something bigger? There's got to be something more than what I'm experiencing today. As you pass the people that you work with, the people you go to school with, can't you feel it crying out from their soul? There's got to be more in this life than what I see the people around me experiencing. And it's not this penny-ante religious stuff that's going on, that's just man's way of mocking God. There's got to be more than that. There's got to be more. So we've got to understand what the true nature of life and who the giver of that life is. And Paul identified it's through Christ. Secondly, we've got to understand the nature of man. For in that world, if you remember the movie, how many of you saw the movie, The Matrix? Well, most of us, I figured. If you haven't seen it, don't get all condescending on me and tell me how it's a secular movie and all that. Save that for somebody else. I'm not going to listen to it. You'll just be wasting your breath with me, because what I see in that movie is secular people that are recognizing some of the real problems and the real situation. Where, yes, it's messy. There's parts of it that are messy, but it's showing the real world and what's really on the line. Nature of man. Who are we? Is man in trouble today? Are the people around you dying by inches? Do they need the wind from elsewhere to blow through their life? Do they need something more? Look at all the ways people try to fill up their lives with stuff. Drugs. Alcohol, sex, violence, money, power, position, politics. Fill in the blank. Where have you sold your soul? To any of that? Is that filling up your life? When you put that in that place where God is supposed to be. Pascal said it, Blaise Pascal said it so well. I've quoted it so many times. There's a God-shaped vacuum within each one of us, and nothing short of God can fill that vacuum. I don't agree with everything Blaise Pascal said, but he was one of the Christian mystics of hundreds of years ago, and that was a great statement. Only God's going to be able to fill that up. But if you look at the real nature of man, is man, on the one hand, a sinner that has no hope? You see, if you listen to a lot of churches, look at man. Oh, man, everything comes back around to, man, you're going to hell. Hell is real. The consequences are real. The idea that man is separated from God is real. But what did God impart to man? His life. I love what... John Eldridge, in his book, Waking the Dead, great book, by the way. It's on my top five of all time books outside of the Bible to read. It is a great book. But he talks about the glory of God that he imparts to man, to imprint man. Because we see that God created us in his image. What does that mean? I love Eldridge's illustrations about it. He talks about how women, he said, and I know this is a gross generalization, but I think it's one that works. He says, in so many cases, you look in our society, what are most women desiring to be? They want to be beautiful. What does a woman want to hear from her husband? I love you. You're the most beautiful woman in the world. Every woman wants to hear that. Every married woman wants to hear that. Every young girl. That's why we have this pseudo stuff that comes along. The airbrushed world that's not a real world. The magazine cover, the celluloid, the digital nature of things that you can airbrush anybody and you can make them look flawless. No one has that kind of skin. No one has that kind of body. No one has that fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Because you see, on the other hand, men, what is it that men are after? Man, they want to be the hero. Show the courage. Show that they can be depended upon in life. And look at all the ways that the world tries to fill that. Well, man, the way you do that is you become Rambo. You know, get you a knife and, you know, get all jacked up with the steroids and whatever. You know, and I know I just got to several of you here. But you see these desires. I'm telling you today, we look at those desires when we denigrate them. I'm saying to you, those have their home. They have their origin in real things, in what God desires. God does desire for a woman to be beautiful, but it starts from the beauty that there's inside. Some of you aren't praying hard enough. Could I ask you to pray that I could speak this today? I had strep throat last week. That beauty that would exude from within. Remember when Audrey was pregnant for the third time? We're later on. We're past the time when people have been having their children and we're having another one. And we go to the birthing classes and they look at us like, you know, was this whoops or what happened? What happened with you people? But I remember very clearly, she was about 8 months pregnant. I mean, she was out to here. I mean, that she looked like she was going to pop any minute. She was miserable. It was summertime because Logan was born in July. We didn't plan very well. He was born in July. I mean, it's like early June. I mean, And I looked at her one day. I said, "Darn, she was just glowing. It wasn't from the sweat pouring off of her, by the way, but she was glowing." And I said to her, I said, "You're more beautiful today than I have ever seen you." Now, we've got a Kermit and Piggy moment coming up. What do you think she said? "You're lying." That's exactly what she said. I remember it very well. I said, no, I'm serious. And it isn't a preview for a line for me to make a joke about. "You are beautiful. God gave me a peek at her. I could see her soul. I could see who she really was. I can see God's intention for her." So you see, we've got this battle going on. When you read Romans 7 and 8, he's not saying, "Oh, you're damned and you're going to hell." And he's saying, yes, there's a problem with sin in your life, but I'm here to give you the answer. Verse 24 again. "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the glory of God that he wants to impart to us. Another illustration. I could give you a theology of this all day long, but in the background, when people see you as a believer, and they see the Holy Spirit living in you, God himself, who is tabernacling in your body. He physically is in your body. Did you know that? He lives in us, the Holy Spirit of God. And when we get enough of that mask of sin
and garbage out of the way, and people see us. Who do they see? They see God. They see the glory of God in man. I want to ask you, is that a message that you think Georgetown, Richmond Hill, Savannah, Georgia, Bingville, and yes, even Tiger Ridge would want to hear? You better believe it. Number three, we've got to understand the nature of the world. So what is the nature of the world? He talks about another power that's going on in here. Man, this is a week's teaching right here. The world, the flesh, and the devil. This battle that's going on. You know why you feel a battle going on in your life? You know why you feel that there's something and someone against you? Do you know why you feel like it's that's personal? Because it is. The day that you chose Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, it is that day you became a marked person by the enemy to tear you down, to drag you down, to defeat you, to show you that, and to show the world, Jesus can't change lives. Is that true? Paul will say it in Greek. In Greek, he'd say it. He used this many times. He used this statement, megenata, may it never be. May it never be. That is not the truth. The nature of the world is evil. Now, let me tell you what God's got planned for the world and the world system. Jesus is coming back. And in his dispensation of time, he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. And he's going to show us. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. The millennial kingdom is going to take place after Jesus comes back. He's physically going to sit down there from the place from whence he left us. He is coming back, just like it says in the first chapter of Acts. He's coming back. But in the meantime, the nature of the world is there is a battle going on. And you are an ignoramus of biblical proportion if you close your eyes and turn your head and look the other way and want to act like it doesn't exist. Now, I'm not saying find a demon behind every bush. Listen, there's enough that aren't hiding behind the bushes in your life. Can you agree with me on that? They're right up there, right in your face. The world system. Find out you're a Christian. What happens? New set of rules. New set of rules. All right, number four. We also got to understand the nature of God. What is his nature? When you think of God, you think of the ultimate four-letter word, don't you? L-O-V-E. It is his motivation for everything, and rightly so should be our motivation. What motivated him to launch his son out of heaven? You talk about mission, talking about a missional approach to life. Look what Jesus did. The Father launched him, sent him. What was John say? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I remember as a little kid realizing the rhythm of that in English. I don't know how it works out in Greek, but I knew how it was in English. And it was easy to memorize. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the nature of God. Going after us. 10 people saved over there the last couple of nights in Nigeria. Why? Because people were obedient to share the gospel. What happens when we put on the obedience of Christ as a body and embrace what he's saying to us, what he's doing in us right now? And we become who God has called us to be. For such a time as this, he's brought us to the kingdom. Now is the accepted time. not waiting for a better day. Man, that clock is ticking.
How many more chances do you get? All right, John, hit it. Lights in the back, please. Come to the end of that movie. Finally, the blinders are off, and Neo can see what's truly going on around him. He can see right and wrong, and he embraces it. Your final question today. In which worldview will you choose to live? I want my life to just keep rocking on like it is. Or, Lord, I'm going to take that red pill today by faith, and I'm going to embrace what you have for me and what you have for all the people that are around me. If Bethel Amati, pastor of Sycamore at Nazi, if he had not embraced his call, there would be 10 people still in darkness, separated eternally from God himself. But he was obedient. God's not calling us for our hub to be back in Georgetown so we can sit around and tell each other how good we are and navel gaze. He's calling on us to lift up our heads and look unto the harvest and see, it is white. It is ready. I love that scene. The bullets didn't stop. They fell away. And he went on the attack. God is calling us to be on the attack. In his name, with the most aggressive weapon on the face of this planet, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I got today. I want to pray for you, and we'll put the baskets out. We're not having an altar call today. If you want to pray with one of the pastors, you can do that. We'll be available to you. But we want to get your cards. Is there a basket behind you, Ricky? All right. There's a basket back there, basket up here. We'd like to get your cards and if you have an offering to bring today. Okay? That's an unusual ringtone there somewhere. It belongs to the new baby, right? Let's pray. I want to send you out today in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, right now,
We come in your name and in your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus, the authority of you, Lord, our Father. And we ask you, send us out now. Send us out to be the people of God, to do the work you have called us to do, and to listen to your voice every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.